Rafah border between the Gaza Strip and Egypt. They say they want to provide the Italian government with a testimony of the tragedy the Palestinians are experiencing as a result of Israel's crimes. Max Civili, Rome.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, practice makes perfect, whether good or bad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's an honor to be here at your service. We're talking about Islamic lifestyle on A to Z. Now, what's really important on today's program, of course, we're talking about how practice makes perfect. Now, this is something that, you know, we've all heard and we all kind of understand to a certain extent, but we might not understand all of the different aspects that we are talking about here, right? So a lot of times we say something, we don't understand the depth of what we're saying. Now, yes, practice makes perfect. That means that when you continuously repeat an action, eventually that action becomes perfected. But here's another thing. Not only does that action become perfected because the more you practice and the more you try to make it better, the more it becomes better. But another thing here is that the more you do an action and the more you continuously do, you know, something in order to have it attain perfection, it starts to become a part of you. Now, this is really good if we're talking about it in a positive sense, but it could be very bad if we're talking about it in a negative sense. And that's what we meant by practice makes perfect, whether good or bad. Now, when it's good, so for example, let's talk about it directly in our Islamic lifestyle. You know, we're doing good deeds, we're paying, for example, charity, we are telling the truth, we're being honest in our dealings, we are praying our daily prayers, right, on time, we're fasting in the holy month of Ramadan, when we get a chance, we're fasting in the, you know, in the other months of the year. I don't know, all of these different things that we continue to practice, at least the daily prayers we practice on a daily basis. But the more we do them, the more we repeat them, the more we practice them, the more perfect they become, and they become a very integral part of our Islamic lifestyle. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about how practice makes perfect, whether good or bad. So we talked about the good aspect of it, that yes, if we are continuously repeating a certain action, a good, righteous action, you know, for example, the five daily prayers, when we are repeating them and we're paying attention to them, and we are focusing our attention on them, and we're trying to make them better as we move forwards, of course, this will attain a certain level of perfection. Now, we have to keep in mind that it takes practice. As we said, it takes determination. You know, some days are good, as they say, some days are bad, meaning some days we are feeling really well, some days we're not feeling so well. Sometimes we're, you know, faced with a problem sometimes. So there's ups and downs in life is what I guess I'm trying to say. And when it comes to those ups and downs, then that practice and that repetition of the things that we're doing, you know, they also have ups and downs. But the important thing is to always continue to move forward, to always, you know, have a positive outlook, and to be continuously striving towards this better goal. Now, the other thing that we want to talk about before we run out of time is the bad aspect, the negative aspect. You know, we have to be very careful that if we continuously repeat a certain action, which is a bad action, whether it's, I don't know, lying or stealing or backbiting or watching bad things or listening to bad things or saying bad things or swearing. I mean, the list goes on and on. But we have to be very careful that we do not end up repeating certain bad actions. Because in this situation, the repetition of bad actions or the repetition of sins, well, it's a tradition from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They say that the repetition of small sins turns into one really big, greater sin, which, of course, is very, very troublesome for us both in this world and the next. So we have to be careful to not repeat bad actions, because these bad actions, just like good actions, end up becoming a part of our being, and removing those becomes incredibly difficult, and it will put us in a difficult position both in this life and the hereafter.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
in the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. As a reminder, in a couple of episodes, we made you familiar with the views of Fred Halliday, who has made researches on international relations and West Asian issues. He said in his speech in 2008 that the Islamic Revolution has been the most modern revolution of human history and a totally non-violent development. Today, you will be hearing further of his views on the Islamic Revolution and the unmatched personality of the leader of this revolution, Imam Khomeini. We hope you'll enjoy it. Fred Halliday, in one of his interviews on Imam Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution, says the legitimacy of Iran's revolution was to create an independent Iran. This country had never been a serious colony. It had rather remained semi-colony, and during the rule of the Shah, it was under the dominance of foreigners. Imam Khomeini brought back Iran's pride. Once he said that, we will rub the nose of colony to the soil. Halliday considers the Iranian people's resistance against bullying countries and despotic rulers, and also in the eight-year war, as an example of honor which was created among the Iranian nation and other Islamic nations after the victory of the Islamic Revolution. The Irish thinker continues, in the Islamic world, despite hostility with Iran and the issues which were caused by Iraq-Iran war, the clergy gave the sense of honor to people and made them believe that they can defend their culture. They like to remain Muslim and have relation with the past of Iran and the Iranian literature and myths. Towards the end of his interview, Halliday refers to Imam Khomeini's effort to coordinate between different ingredients of the Iranian identity and calls the Islamic Revolution as a symbol of this coordination. In a speech in 1998, Fred Halliday pointed to Imam Khomeini's peerless traits in ruling the hearts and attracting people and said, Ayatollah Khomeini had a magical attraction and a mystic power which drew the people. Now, 20 years after the Iranian Revolution, many Muslims in the world praise Imam Khomeini as an honest man. I remember when he was discharged from hospital at the age of 83, I asked him, "How are you?" He said, "I'm fine. And I thank people who are concerned about me. This was the first time that I was lying on a bed." I think he was the symbol of simple way of living and morals that were very pleasant for people. Irish thinker Fred Halliday, impressed by the political life of Imam Khomeini, considers Islam quiet compliant with democracy and says, you can be a Muslim and free. Let me put forward a special issue on democracy, having elections and political parties. Those who hate Muslims say that Islam cannot be democratic, and some of the Muslim rulers say that this is a Western system and we don't want it. But these don't have anything to do with Islam. In general, I didn't find a contradiction between democracy and human rights with the Islamic culture. For your information, dear listeners, it should be said that what is preached in the West as democracy is 100% opposite what is practiced. A very simple example to show this contradiction is the way the French police and government are behaving with thousands of demonstrators who have taken to the streets of Paris and other cities for hundreds of Saturdays to protest against the undemocratic and anti-democratic laws in the country. This is France, the so-called cradle of democracy. Thus, what Imam Khomeini and his successor, Ayatollah Khamenei, mean by democracy is truly the rule of people and the sample seen in the West for decades. Anyway, Halliday enumerates five factors for occurrence of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. He names them as asymmetric expansion of capitalist economy in Iran, political feebleness of Shah's regime, broad coalition of opposite forces, prominent role of Islam and Imam Khomeini's leadership, and the altering international ground. Halliday believes that before the Islamic Revolution, there were two outstanding theories in explication of occurrence of the four major revolutions in the world. According to the first theory, revolutions, in spite of all domestic issues, are the outcome of external and global conditions such as foreign attack and undermining of the ruling system is the support for revolutions. The second theory maintains that revolutions are the outcome of political, economic, and social structures of countries, and individuals play little role in them. Yet, the Irish professor stresses that the Islamic Revolution in Iran nullified these theories. The Iranian Shah, Mohammad Reza, enjoyed the highest scale of support from foreigners, especially his master and closest ally, the United States of America, till the last day of his stay in Iran. On the contrary, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, enjoyed no support from any government or global power whatsoever. However, according to most experts of Islamic studies, such as martyr Ayatollah Mutahhari, what led to the triumph of the Islamic Revolution were three factors, namely people's faith in God, unity of people, and the unmatched leadership of Imam Khomeini. The points to note in the views of Fred Halliday on the Islamic Revolution and Imam Khomeini is that he differentiates between this revolution and the political Islam and the extremist and Salafi outlooks of the groups like Taliban and Al-Qaeda. He has found Iran is a country with a very old and deep-rooted culture and history. He maintains that Iran stands very high in the region, from the viewpoint of cultural, historical, political, scientific, and economic power. Halliday castigates those who try to compare Al-Qaeda with the Islamic Revolution and considers it very false. The Irish researcher believed that Al-Qaeda is not an offspring of Islam, nor even the past Arab world. It is rather an extremist violence. He said in a speech, "It is true that the ideology implied in the discourse of the Islamic Revolution and the stances of Imam Khomeini claim universality contrary to Al-Qaeda. The Islamic Republic never intends to invade other nations or murder foreigners. Imam Khomeini has mentioned the universal issues of the revolution to guide nations." Well, dear listeners, on that note, we have to wrap up this episode. Next time, we will continue with the view of another thinker on Imam Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از ایمان.
Self purification is the most significant fact.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
نه فقط هوا و هوس، آلودگی ها، گناهان، تعلقات پست.
Not only satanic temptations and carnal desires can deviate us from the right path of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt, but also holy attractions can do so. But how? This means that even so-called religious desires can cause going astray. For instance, when Moses disobeyed Prophet Khizr, he was not after power or Satan, but inside a religious zone, he left the preferred action desired by Allah.
تعلقات مقدس یعنی چی؟ یعنی موسی وقتی که به خضر اعتراض میکرد.
What does it mean by holy attractions? It means that Moses complained to Prophet Khizr because of religion and because he thought that Khizr is doing some religious deeds in the wrong way. However, when the Gabriel came down on earth, he told Moses to obey Khizr because there is a philosophy behind all Khizr's deeds. Moses was ordered to obey Khizr, but he left the preferred deed desired by Allah. In other words, Allah told Moses to leave aside even holy and religious attractions if you want to succeed spiritually. This is why we must be careful not to be misled even by our religious desires. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali.
To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to Israel Watch. Between optimism and pessimism, the positions of Zionist experts and analysts range regarding the ongoing negotiations to conclude a captives exchange deal. This is while the Hebrew media monitored the interactions regarding the Netanyahu post-war plan and the resignation of the Palestinian government in Ramallah. The enemy media also focused on the operation where Hezbollah missile shoot down the Israeli drone in southern Lebanon. Regarding these issues, I welcome the analyst on Israeli affairs, Mr. Zahir Abu Hamda. Dear Professor, welcome to this program. The Hebrew media has shown great interest in the downing of the Israeli drone and the military and political dimension it carries. And Professor Zahir Abu Hamda, what are the military political messages that this operation conveys? The Israeli occupation understand well its aspects. I mean, shooting down this advanced Hermes 450 drone by a surface-to-air missile from Hezbollah.
Greetings to you. The topic is somewhat complex. In the beginning, we should note the issue of timing, the issue of political repercussions, and the issue of field repercussions, and these are important. Therefore, we begin with the issue that came to mind of many Israeli commentators. This is the Hermes 450, worth $2 million, and the David Sling missile that was intercepted. The surface-to-air missile costs $700,000. The question now is, what is the price of the missile launched by Hezbollah? This huge financial cost has attracted the attention of many. Hezbollah is not a matter of audacity. It is a matter of decision. There is a decision by the resistance. Islam in Lebanon said that the occupation has expanded its aggression, so it will also expand its operations, and there was a blatant attack in Baalbek, eastern Lebanon. As a result, we see that Hezbollah responds, brings down the drones that bombed these places.
I mean, the enemy spoke about the seriousness of this issue.
It is true, and therefore there is also a point that there are assassination attempts or assassination operations carried out by the enemy in Lebanese territory. A strike must be directed against these weapons that carry out assassinations and bombings. And here is the most important question for the Israelis. If Hezbollah possesses the weapons to down their drones, is it also possible that they can shoot down Israel's aircraft and helicopters? This question is also one of the surprises of the war.
We remain on the occupied Palestinian northern front and the confrontations at the border with Hezbollah, where the Zionist Minister of War has returned to his violent stance, threatening Hezbollah to remove it from the border by force. Galan's threats to Hezbollah were responded to by experts and commentators in the Hebrew media who confirmed that the occupation army is unable to defeat Hezbollah and remove it from the borders. Mr. Zahir Abu Hamda, the Israeli occupation is unable to remove Hezbollah from the borders. What does this mean?
The most important thing is what Gallant said, which is the evidence on the issue that if there is a truce in Gaza, it will not cover the southern Lebanon. I think that this is a matter of raising the level of expectations, threats, and intimidation. But it is also important to take into account the Israeli crisis regarding the northern front, because here we can conclude what will happen. The Israelis have a major problem with the issue of settlers. They have more than 80,000 settlers in north who do not want to return and are afraid of returning. This population says, we will not return until Hezbollah is removed from the borders. They also do not know what it means to remove Hezbollah from the border, meaning the people of the cities and the people of the border villages. How will you remove them? I've heard Nabi Berri once said that removing the Litani River is easier than removing Hezbollah.
So, Professor Zahira Muhammad, the Israeli commentator said the future will not be rosy.
There will not be a future as a state and as an entity for Israel. Future is not only rosy, it is hell, God willing. It will be. But the most important thing regarding the tactical issues currently present in southern Lebanon or northern occupied Palestine is what the coming days will be like. Will we be facing a confrontation? Will it be a limited confrontation or an unlimited one? Is it open or will we go to negotiations, and perhaps negotiations will also be in Lebanon's favor, including a withdrawal from the Sheba farms, the Kafar Shuba hills, or other areas?
Regarding the negotiations of the captives exchange deal, the second edition of which took place in Paris, the Hebrew media published some of the conditions that Hamas insisted on, including the withdrawal of the occupation army from the north of the Gaza Strip. In the same context, the Hebrew media mentioned some of the titles that were discussed in the negotiations, including the release of 2,400 Palestinian abductees in exchange for 40 Zionist captives during a six-week truce. Mr. Zahir Abu Hamda, how do you assess what is published in the Hebrew media about the captives exchange deal negotiations? This discrepancy indicates that conditions are sometimes positive and at other times negative.
To some extent, it is misleading and putting pressure on the resistance, but the information means that there is an Israeli withdrawal from the previous retreat in the Paris talks. It is now raising several points, including that the released Palestinian abductees, the majority of whom will be subject to high sentences, should not stay in Palestine and they should be deported abroad. They're not supported to be in Qatar. The resistance has not responded yet. This is one point. The other point, which I think is important, is that there is disagreement about names. The Israelis are currently saying they are withdrawing from densely populated areas. Previously, the phrase was populated areas, meaning any area with residents must be removed from it. There are disagreements over some names and some details, even on the issue of the duration of the truce. Will it be 4 weeks or 6 weeks? Will some of the displaced people return from south to north Gaza? The Israelis also propose some traps and say that those who are underage, that is, women or children under 18 and men over 50, should return. This means he wants to separate families. He says, do not return to the north of the Gaza Strip. This is an essential point for the resistance. The displaced must return to the north. We should pay attention to the conditions of the Gaza Strip, especially the issue of hunger, the issue or disaster of hunger currently occurring in the northern Gaza Strip. I believe that these coming hours will be decisive, especially since there is clear American pressure that does not want there to be any war or fighting in Gaza during the month of Ramadan. This is automatically reflected in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem, and there are even Israeli warnings that this month of Ramadan, there will be what I call a flood inside Al-Aqsa, not the Al-Aqsa flood. That is, if there are Israeli measures regarding Al-Aqsa Mosque, the flood will be inside the mosque and not around it first.
Netanyahu is not interested in an exchange deal and wants it to fail for political and personal reasons. So he put forward a demand to deport senior resistance leaders to Qatar. Netanyahu does not understand what the Israelis are saying, that he is the guilty party and that he must bear responsibility. Benjamin Netanyahu does not want an exchange deal for political and personal reasons. What do you think?
Netanyahu has an opinion on the matter, but it is not a decision for him only. There is a war cabinet, there is a war council as well, and he also fears that there is opposition or a veto similar to Ben-Gvir about any deal or even a ceasefire. Because even the conditions of the resistance begin with a ceasefire, then withdrawal, then an exchange, and then things are reversed, meaning we conduct an exchange, and then the issue of a truce ends with an agreement on a ceasefire. He fears a ceasefire agreement because he has not achieved any of the war goals that he had set. Well, his administration will fall, and then there will be elections. Early or not early won't make a difference. And then the extreme or extreme right would lose the elections, and this is what they fear. But in the end, we must know or emphasize this point that most of the Israeli society, with all its sects, support the war and prefer the war to continue. The issue is not the person of Netanyahu or what Netanyahu represents in terms of war ideas, confrontation or continuing confrontation. They also fear this extreme right or those who support it. They fear that Netanyahu at some point may yield to American pressure. He may acquiesce until he stops the war according to conditions that the Israelis, especially the extreme right, do not desire.
The stormy protests in many areas of the regime against the Netanyahu administration continue, and the demands for its overthrow and early elections are escalating, and the demonstrations in Tel Aviv have reached a confrontation and arrest carried out by the occupation police. After the occupation police arrested a number of protesters, the families of the Zionist captives expressed double fear of the police and the demonstrators supporting Netanyahu. And to the Israeli social media that held Netanyahu responsible for everything that happened in the regime after the Operation Al-Aqsa flood, and Zionist activists demanded his immediate dismissal.
Shoval.
An administration brought ruin on us on October 7, and yet they accuse the demonstrators.
Shiran.
I do not understand why Netanyahu is returning us to the demonstrations. Let him leave the seat and begin the early elections.
Yair.
We are waiting for the process of saving Israel from Netanyahu, so let him resign now.
Eidu.
It is time to uproot the worst administration in Israel history.
Adel.
Netanyahu cares about his personal interests only and does not want to end the war so as not to give an account.
Ra'ot.
An administration that cannot confront its enemies turns against its own citizens. The Israeli police are more dangerous to Israel than Hamas.
Novu.
Anyone wearing a police uniform must be isolated from society.
Mr. Zahir Abu Hamda, why did the protest demonstrations against the Netanyahu administration turn into confrontations and arrests? And on the other hand, what are the allegations of those who support Netanyahu in the same place, in the context of what you mentioned a moment ago?
It is a clear reflection of the division within Israel. We have a very large majority that supports to some extent the exchange deal, and we have another majority that we might call the population led by Ben-Gvir and Smotrich. Smotrich asks, how many are these captives? 130? 140? Well, we have sacrificed 500 or 600 soldiers in this war, and even 1,000 more Israelis. We may add around 100, but we do not make concessions to the Palestinian resistance. This is what Ben-Gvir said. In fact, they know that if they made any concessions, they would have lost the war. Because considering that from the beginning of the negotiations, there was some amount of a resistance, they would say prisoners are exchanged with prisoners only. The captives will not be released except through a captives exchange deal. Most important of all, this division led by him between Ben-Gvir and Smotrich was also reflected in the performance of the police as Minister of Security, and was also reflected in the street. Perhaps we'll see demonstrations again, similar to what happened about the judicial reforms. Part of the Israeli population were against the amendments and other part were supportive. This is a reflection of the internal Israel division, and this is what we see in the future, and it will also weaken the internal Israel system.
After Netanyahu presented the cabinet with a document containing post-war plans, talks began in the Hebrew media that this plan would not be implemented with countries that normalize relations. Briefly, dear professor, what are the implications of the link between the day after the war and coordination with countries that normalized relations?
There's a very large original project led by the United States of America. Now it says that there are intentions to establish a Palestinian state or a plan to establish a Palestinian state based on the normalization of Saudi Arabia and some additional Arab countries with Israel in exchange for this crisis ending and ending with the establishment of a state and there being a government that administers the Gaza Strip and administers the West Bank. But Israel completely rejects this. It does not want geographical and democratic unity between the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. That is, it completely rejects the establishment of a Palestinian state, and this is what was expressed by the Knesset meeting. This indicates that the American project has failed, and it will always fail. What else will fail? The Israeli plans. Netanyahu's entire plan regarding the Gaza Strip will also fail as long as there is a Palestinian shooting at Israeli soldiers.
The resignation of the Palestinian government in Ramallah, which was covered with great interest by the Hebrew media, was placed in the context of Arab and American pressures within the framework of what the Biden administration called the improved Palestinian Authority. Based on these words, did the resignation of the Ramallah government, Mr. Zahir Abu Hamda, really come within the framework of what Washington wanted for the Palestinian Authority the day after the war?
To some extent, it is President Mahmoud Abbas who tried to anticipate any American and Arab pressure and tried to throw the ball in the American and Israeli court. It was to some extent an idea, perhaps what could be called a Qatari idea, essentially, for the government to resign. Therefore, we will find that the president went to Qatar and met the Emir of Qatar, and then he met Ismail Haniyeh, and we will also find that this also happened in anticipation of what will take place in Moscow in terms of Palestinian discussions. In all matters, this is a step that to some extent may unite the Palestinians, perhaps later, but I think that it would be a difficult task for any future government to be able to manage the Gaza Strip and the West Bank together, considering that there's always a complete Israeli rejection in between. There must be pressure on the Israelis before there can be a Palestinian government.
Is this the first step for what Biden wants for the Palestinian Authority?
No. Look, for example, what is the difference between Shteya and Mohammed Mustafa? Nothing.
Professor Zahir Abu Hamda, analyst of Israeli affairs, thank you for your participation in this episode of Israel Watch, and thank you for your good follow-up. Until we meet again, take care.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected listeners from all over the world, welcome to IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah with me here today in the studio. I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And Fawad, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Hassan, how are
fine,
you?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah,
Hussein?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about Ayah 33, Surah
Al-A'raf.
Hassan, what page?
154.
All right. Brother Hassan says 154. So, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, as you're listening, please grab your Quran, page 154, Surah Al-A'raf. What ayah, Brother Hassan?
Ayah 33.
Let's listen to the recitation, all right? Ready?
Yes, no. Yes.
Let's listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون.
That was a nice recitation, mashallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. Who's going to recite this ayah once?
Me.
Me? Mr. Me? Who is Mr. Me? Hassan, go on. أعوذ بالله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق.
أحسنتم بغير الحق.
Well,
you can resume from والإثم.
Yes.
Go on.
والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل.
Alright, good. Read it till the end of the ayah. Read وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا.
Yes. وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Good job. MashaAllah. Allah bless you. One point I want to tell you, listen. Before you read every second verse, every second part of the ayah. Alright, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, forward. Wherever you read, okay? If you look at the famous reciters, the teachers, okay? Even for Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is not a long ayah, which is very easy to recite, okay? You really don't need to take a long breath, a deep breath. But they do. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They do it. Okay? Why? Because it helps you start beautifully, correctly, without any stress from losing your breath, okay? And ending beautifully. The ending is very much important, okay? Sometimes you read the whole ayah correctly, very beautifully. Everybody is enjoying as you're reading. But at the end, you have no longer, you cannot
read.
Stop very well. Why? Because you are running out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why for every single time you read, even if there are four words, five words, one line, two lines, okay? You have to take a deep breath. Or at least some breath, okay? Just manage it yourself. Alright? You have to get used to it. Thank you, Ali Nasir, by the way. Guys, let's talk about any tajweed points that we need to focus on. قُلْ إِنَّمَا. This alif matters. What? Huh? The alif in the word? إِنَّمَا. Read it إِنَّمَا. Don't read it إِنَّمَا رَبِّي. إِنَّمَا رَبِّي. Don't ignore the alif.
Yes.
Alright?
Yeah.
Do not ignore. It really changes the meaning. Not especially in this word, but in most of the words, it really changes. قُلْ إِنَّمَا رَبِّيَ Fawahisha, if you say fawahisha, fawahisha, wahisha is a verb. Fawahish, it's a noun. It completely changes.
Okay? Yes.
Wahisha could be it's another word. Okay, fawahish is another word. So they change really meanings. حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ. Move on. مَا
ظَهَرَ.
Make sure it's
heavy.
Heavy letter. So how do you read it, Hussein? مَا
ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا.
Yeah. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. ظَهَرَ. Two heavy letters. In between, you have a light letter.
Yes.
A. La. Ha-ra. Very beautiful.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه أرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَمِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَانَ. Here we have just the opposite. Two light letters. In the middle we have
heavy letter.
Heavy letter. Ba.
طَانَ.
Good job. For what? وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بَغْ. Is that a heavy letter?
Yes.
Yeah. And also the next word, read it.
Is a light letter.
A light letter. And again, غَيْن we have. Read these two words. وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ.
وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ.
أحسن. وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Heavy letters are heavy to pronounce them.
Yes.
They're difficult. Alright, وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا. Let me read you the translation of what Allah Almighty says here. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ. O Prophet, say to the people, my Lord has only forbidden indecencies, which means like sins or things or deeds which are bad, which are forbidden. Okay, there your intellect judges them as a bad deed. For example, stealing, robbing someone. For example, disrespecting elders. For example, what? Backbiting. For example, give me an example.
Cursing, insulting.
Cursing, insulting people. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
These are haram things. Allah Almighty has forbidden them. Drinking champagne or wine, whatever, okay? Khamr, these are haram. These are harmful. These are for the community, for everybody, okay? For humanity. They are haram. Alright, whatever. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَن. No matter the ifm or the sin is common one, okay? In public, people do it. Or hidden in secret, they do it. All are haram. We shouldn't think like if I, for example, lie in the community publicly, it's haram. But if I lie to myself or to my family when we are alone, okay, with my friends, it's not haram. No, it's haram. Alright?
Yeah.
وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا. How do you say about أَن تُشْرِكُوا? أَن تُشْرِكُوا. What rule is that?
إِخْفَى.
The rule إِخْفَى. What does it mean?
Hiding.
How
the
you
sound
hide
of noon, ساكن, or
how do you do it?
وَأَن
تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَن سُلْطَانًا.
Yeah, سُلْطَانًا. We have إدغام.
سُلْطَانًا.
No.
وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. That's it. We got 1 or 2 minutes. Let's go to the recitation. Let's practice the recitation. I will recite it once. Make sure you listen to me and repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, take part. Join us. Ready, everyone?
Yep.
Yes.
Hussein, yes?
Yes.
Okay, everybody said yes. Hussein didn't. And finally, he did. Let's start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق
قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق
والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا
والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا
ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون
ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم الله bless you inshallah that's it from us for today dear brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Stay with us. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you in the next coming sessions, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad Hassan Hussein Adi Nasser, for being with us in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.